Good morning. Good morning. Happy Saturday. Everybody, come on into my Zoom room. Let's see. I'm going to change my name. Hey, can you hear? Let's do a sound check. Can everybody hear me okay? Good morning, Mickey. Yep, Mickey says she can. And of course, Jean is here. You all can hear me. That's amazing. I'm so glad. And we already have a hand raised. Awesome. Here's what we're going to do today, everyone. I'm going to talk just a minute about how I think about assessments and what I think they're useful for. And then we will coach until the top of the hour. If you have any questions about your assessment, about how to assess, about why to assess, about whether or not you should assess, I can't make myself assess. What does my assessment mean? All kinds of topics that we can coach on today. Okay. So go ahead and raise your hands. If you did your assessment, I did mine this morning. I do want to say this, y'all. I did this deep dive assessment, the one I posted in the Facebook group. I think it took me less than 10 minutes. The key to doing an assessment is not overthinking and not putting on that judge's robe. It's all about reflection, not judgment. Okay. So when you do your assessments, you want to do it as if you are looking at the best piece of information you have from yesterday that can propel you into tomorrow. Ashley, I need to promote Ashley. I'm sorry. Are you here? Ashley is not here yet. Okay. I will watch for her. So, what I want to say about assessments, I did a call on September 10th. You can go into video replays, you can go into your private member podcast. The fourth person on that call was someone who could not make herself do assessments. So, we talked about the importance of assessments, and this is what I want to bring to you. This is what I want you to, oh, there's Ashley. This is what I want you to think about. Could you, promoting you now, Ashley, could you consider your assessment as part of your planning process? Think about that for a minute. What if the best way to think about an assessment is like creating the data you need, the information you need to propel you into the next week? Because assessment is part of growth, it identifies those areas that you can fine-tune. Okay, so think about that for a minute. Assessment is not to tell you were right or wrong, you were bad or good, or anything like that. It's about identifying those areas that are your next 1% level ups. It's an invitation to figure out where you can move forward just a little bit. I have notes, obviously. Your assessment will show you the path to your weight loss. Pretty good, right? So as I was thinking about this call today, I was thinking about, raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. Give me an emoji if you remember the movie Groundhog Day. Had to be back in the 80s. Classic Bill Murray. Am I getting some thumbs up? I'm showing my age. I know. Groundhog Day. So Bill Murray, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe is a weatherman. And he wakes up and it's February 2nd and he goes through his spiel, goes through his day. He's not a very nice person. Not nice to himself, not nice to other people. Guess what? Goes to bed, gets up next morning. Guess what? It's still Groundhog Day. He repeats this cycle over and over as a not a very nice man. Okay. Then he begins to think, I wonder what's going on here. I wonder what's wrong. And little by little, he starts to be nicer to himself. He starts to be nicer to other people. He even falls in love with his co-anchor, y'all. And I'm not even joking. But it was until he looked at what was happening on that day that kept repeating. It was until he looked at that, he did not move forward. He didn't move forward in his life. He didn't move forward in his relationship with himself or with other people. He didn't better himself. He just repeated the same day over and over, just like those of you are doing. Who aren't assessing. You're just writing a plan, writing a plan, writing a plan, and wondering why I'm not losing weight. assessment is a key part of the process. Because guess what? Once Bill Murray decided he needed to be a better person, he woke up and it was February 3rd and he was able to move forward. So I want you to think about that as we think about assessments. Okay. How can you use the data that you grab from your assessment to move you just a little bit forward? All right. I've got three hands raised. That's amazing. Thank you. I thought it was a pretty good analogy too. I was talking to my husband. I said, help me remember that plot real well. maybe I should run it up the ladder as the official No BS movie. What do you think? Okay. I have three hands raised. Admin, Jenny, Erica, and Laura. So if you do not mean to have your hand raised, please lower it now. Otherwise, I'm going to start calling on people. Jenny, you're first. Jenny from Nebraska, you're first. Zoom is touchy. It always is, isn't it? Y'all hear that on every call, I bet. Jenny from Nebraska. Ashley is here in the chat. Good morning, Ashley. I think it is early for her. So she'll be talking to you in all caps. She will also be giving links if you wish to do this amazing deep dive assessment, which I love. Good morning, Coach Ashley, which I love. I did mine this morning. She can put that link in the chat. She can also, there's also an amazing tool inside the NoBS membership where the coaches and the team have put together our versions of 1% level ups. So if you're struggling with, I don't know how to level this up, guess what? We've got an answer for you. Good morning. I'm ready for you. Jenny, what are we coaching on?
Hey, hello.
Hi.
Cool. Well, so I, first time actually joining live. I listened to like all of the replays. I've been with No BS for going on 3 years now. So legacy member.
Nice. Welcome.
Thank you. It's exciting. I'm actually like very good with assessing. I have any question you have about data, I have it for you.
Awesome.
But really the issue is actually following through. So the habits I want to work on is definitely stopping at enough, following the plan, like those two, just like consistently 50%, 40% monthly, where everything else is like 80, 90, water, sleep, making a plan on lock.
Yeah.
And something that I've really noticed about myself is I love finding a solution. I'm like, oh, here is a problem. Here's a solution for the problem. And I like go through, I make the steps. I'm like, this is going to be it. For example, I wasn't following my plan. So I started taking screenshots of my daily plan and putting it on the lock screen on my phone because I'm like, well, I'm not looking at my plan. I make it in the morning. And then I'm like, oh, I remember it. But then my brain is like, just starts tuning that out. So it's like, I'm really good at making a solution, but I don't follow through on the solution or the 1% level ups. And it's really, it's made a stall. So I had lost about 25 pounds, then in March gained about 12 back. One thing that happened is I actually started seeing somebody and I think I kind of started putting them first. We broke up, but that was like 4 months ago. And I'm just kind of like the same 2 or 3 pounds and I'm ready to get back down that trajectory going downward. So, yeah.
So, let me ask this first. You're doing the assessments, which is great. Are your level ups doable? Are they true?
Yeah.
Like we can call them 1% level ups, but sometimes even that's too much. You know, sometimes it needs to be a 1-inch level up. So are your level ups doable for you?
I feel like they are. So a 1% level up that I did recently was talking to my future self. And so I started doing a mantra in the morning based on my weight loss. And so it's like, I make food choices that are, I forget now that I'm on the spot. But like I make food choices that uplift my goals for myself. Like I say that 3 times. And so I've done that really consistently. I think that they are 1%. Maybe they're not. One that didn't work. Let's do one that I said, hey, this is going to do this. And it didn't work is, nighttime eating. So like after dinner and being like, I just want a snack. I made myself a contract that I have to sign before I can actually get the snack. And it's along the lines of like, I understand that this is a choice I can make, but it's not going to help my future goals. And I put a lot of thought into what I want to, how I wanted to word it, printed it out, put it right by the snacks. I've never even
and you don't
it.
Sign it.
Not even read it, like, let alone
who
sign
wants
it.
To sign a contract to have a snack.
Barrier. I thought that's I'd be like, this funny. Is an awful lot of work that I don't want to do.
Like, here's what I love about what you said, though. You tried something unique and something you thought would work for you. So if we assess that attempt, it's like, well, apparently this is a no, right? I'm not going to sign a contract before I eat a snack. So what else can I try? Okay. Yeah. So then you get creative and you think of something else that you can try. The assessment points out what you want to work on. The level ups all come out of your head as ideas to try and pivot from if they don't work. So when it comes to nighttime eating, if the contract was a no, what else might you try?
So one thing that I've tried now, just like this week, is I bought pre-portioned snacks because I love to finish a bag. Like that's mm-hmm. just something mm-hmm. I've learned about myself. And so that's one thing I'm doing now is like, okay, I can have this whole thing, but it's, you know, this big instead of this big. And that seems to be working this week, but I'm like, oh, but I could just have one more. Like, oh, it's so small. Like then my brain starts going, oh, it's so small. So you could have another one. Like that's fine. And that's usually what my disco sheet is like, this is fine. This is okay.
So are you planning your nighttime snack?
Yes.
Yeah. And are you planning, this might be an opportunity for you to plan a quantity, like one bag, two bags, 14 bags.
I have been doing that too.
You have like, been doing that. And yeah. Are you doing a discovery sheet if you eat it and you're not hungry?
Yeah, I get the fake hungry. So I'm like, oh, I am hungry. Like I am hungry.
But you just called it fake hungry. So you know it's fake.
I know it's fake, but it feels so good.
It's called an urge. Okay.
Yeah.
Which is a feeling which can emulate hunger, or your brain can tell you it's true hunger. You just know it's not at this point. You probably know as you're walking through the pantry that you're not really hungry. It's kind of fake hungry, don't you?
Yeah. Like sometimes like even last night I hadn't put some snacks I bought away. So I kept walking by them and I'm like, oh, I want that. It's like a fruit bar. Oh, I want mm-hmm. that. And I was like, you mm-hmm. know what? I only want this because I keep walking by it. So I put it away mm-hmm. and the urge did get less. And I feel like I'll follow this, be really successful for a week or two, but then it's not consistently following those 1% or being like, okay, well now what? Like I've had these rules.
What if you were to try this instead of decreasing the amount you eat at night? What if you were to say, I'm going to pick one night this week, just one, where I'm not going to eat after dinner. And I'm going to be really super curious about what I'm telling myself. Because that, when you decide there's one night you're not going to eat, maybe you do some sort of pattern interrupt. For me, I would have to come upstairs. Okay. Because I'm not going to eat in my bed. Y'all have heard me. I don't know if you've heard me, but I have said many times, I do not tolerate crumbs in the bed. I can't stand it. If I'm sick, I get out of the bed and eat. You know, I just don't eat in the bed. So for me, I would come upstairs and I would listen to the thoughts. You know, you can just go back downstairs. You know, there's cookies in the pantry. You know, Ken bought that cake the other day. Da, 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 da. And I would just listen and I would write down all the thoughts. And then you can assess those thoughts the next morning and say, well, that's BS. That's BS. I can see why I give in to that one. How can I up-level it? What can I do in the four ends? Things like that. So instead of decreasing the snack, you could try something totally new and just say one night, just one. I'm going to sit and I'm going to listen to this urge and I'm going to write down everything it's telling me, all the arguments, so that then you can develop a response back.
Okay.
Yeah, see, there's lots of different things you can try.
Yeah, I haven't written down my thoughts. I've thought about my thoughts a lot, but maybe I haven't written down. Do you think the one thing that I'm worried that might happen is I'm setting so many rules up for myself at night that it becomes like kind of the opposite of what No BS is about. So like I close the kitchen really, really consistently, 9:30. Like that's pretty good now, because I used to eat all the time, and actually find I sleep much better if I don't eat right before bed.
So that's great. You probably figured that out with an assessment, let me just say.
Yeah. But then it's like, okay, so no eating after 9:30. I have the halftime method. I have to leave. Well, I don't have to, but I choose to leave bites behind at dinner. I choose to like try to celebrate that. But now it's like there's like multiple rules growing around that last 3 hours of my day, which is also like my downtime of my day where I try to not have a lot of rules. So I'm not sure how to balance those two.
So here's what you use the term rules. I'll use the term habits. Mm-hmm. Okay. What we like to teach is that you attempt one new habit at a time. So for you, let's say closing the kitchen at 9:30 is the new habit that you want to try. That's all you work on. Okay. If you have stopping at enough on lock at dinner time, then you start the 9:30 close the kitchen habit. Once you get that one on lock, you might try the halftime method at dinner time to reassess enough. You see what I'm saying? You layer in one thing at a time. That prevents you from getting overwhelmed. It gives you great focus on habit change, because you know, habit change is not easy. It takes patience and practice. And if you're trying to give patience and practice in too many areas, you have then, what's the word, bifurcated your attention. How do you like that word, y'all?
I'm going to have to Google that one.
You've divided your attention in too many different places. Okay. Yeah. So your focus becomes diminished on what the goal is. That's why this deep dive assessment, y'all, I'd have to count these in my head. I'm going to say 20 different things to rank. And she tells you to pick the top three. That's all. And then you start with number one and you work on that one. When that one you feel good about, you go down to number two and you work on that one.
Yeah.
So for you, I think I would pick the one that you think is going to be the easiest and the most impactful and work on that one first.
I just had a breakthrough. If you do a 1% level up five times, that's not 5%. It's not 1% anymore, like in five different ways.
I love how you said that. Yeah, because you've taken five 1% level ups and diminished each one of them because your focus is not solely on one of them.
Great.
Make sense?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, thank you. This has been so helpful. Anybody who's listening and has been a long time listener, never a caller, call in. It's great.
Well, I'm glad. There is something to be said about having a conversation back and forth. We find that it's very helpful in private coaching. It's very helpful on these group calls. It's helpful at, camp, because Corinne will do Q&A with you. You can do Q&A at the table. I mean, it's super helpful to have conversations around things and to get other ideas. All right. So what are you going to do with this nighttime eating? What is your one thing that you're going to do?
It's closing at 9:30.
Okay.
Because I was doing that very consistently, slid back a little bit last 2 months while trying to add halftime method. So I think I'm going to take away the halftime method and just focus on going back to that closing at 9:30.
Okay. Do it. Tell yourself how many days you're going to do it. Commit to how many days? 7 days? 10 days?
7 days by the end of the month.
Seven days.
Yeah, okay. I'll increase it a little bit each week.
You know, that's really, I love the way you said that, because when I was doing my deep dive assessment, one of the things I need to do more of is discovery worksheets. Yeah, totally honest here, y'all. So I'm committing to making sure I do at least two this week. Because I know I'm going to eat off plan or overeat. You know, I'm human. We all are. So I'm going to do two discovery worksheets this week. Now, I might have opportunities to do a whole lot more, but I am committing to two. Okay?
Great.
Awesome. All right. Go forth. Do good work. You're welcome. See ya. Okay. Erica? You are next. Tiny changes. Yes. One at a time, y'all. Tiny changes one at a time. It takes your brain time to adapt to new habits, to try new things, to be okay with trying new things. Remember, our brains don't like change, y'all. They like everything to be constant and steady and all the things. Hello, good morning, Erica. Let's get you unmuted.
Hi,
good.
Kathy.
Hi, what are we working on today?
So first I'm like out and about, so I'm hoping my internet is good enough for
you
the
sound
call.
Okay right now.
Okay, good. So I love the new assessment. I've been using it about every 2 weeks, and that's been really helpful. This month, at the beginning of the month, I lost 2 pounds 1 week, and then I gained 4 pounds the next week, and then I've managed to get 2 of those back off. So for the month as a whole, I only lost 0.2 pounds.
Okay.
Having very shitty thoughts about that. But I don't, mostly I just don't want to continue kind of that yo-yo pattern throughout the month. And I want to kind of figure out what was causing that. My brain says that it's the medication that I'm on. And that's like kind of one of the stories that's holding me back is that, you know, I'm on this medication that might cause weight gain, and I've been gaining since I, you know, kind of slowly gaining since I went on it. But I want to shift out of that into curiosity and start like actually working on some things to see if it's really that or not.
I recently started a medication that has a side effect of potential weight gain. And I, of course, my human brain went in the deuter just like yours. And I was like, great, here I am, a weight loss coach, and I'm going to gain weight because I'm taking a medication that I'm supposed to take. And then I went, wait a minute, is that really how I want to think about that? Do I want to trust the Googles? Do I want to trust the? No, I want to trust myself and I want to trust my own brain. And I'm going to look and see where I can level up in my food. Mm. So last week, this is what we all do, right? We achieve some success and we start to get a little lazy and things start to sneak back in. And we, well, that happened to me. I was eating a lot of bread, y'all. I mean, toast for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, you know, whatever. And I thought last week, I said, let's limit the bread. Let's do something else. You know, I'm not restricting. I'm just changing up my plan a little bit. I want you to know I lost 1.5 pounds last week on this medication that I'm supposed to gain weight on, or that the internet say I might gain weight on.
Yeah. Okay?
No, we don't believe the internets. It's just like believing the BMI. Okay. BMI is going to say we're all, you know, way overweight because we're not 5'6" white men in the 1880s. Okay. I mean, seriously, that's about how the BMI was created. So it's an average for everyone, or things that might happen. How you probably went to the doctor and they said, oh, by the way, you might get this and you might get this and you might get this and you might have, you know, all these terrible things because they're CYAing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I thought of it in those terms, I was like, no, I'm not going to trust the internets on this. I'm going to trust my body and my brain and see what happens. And that's what takes you back to your assessment, right? So if you do your deep dive assessment, it on here, it doesn't ask you, are you on medication that where you might gain weight? No, it says, are you following your doable hunger method? Are you talking to your future self? Are you planning and following your plan? You know, it asks you those questions that will help you lose weight regardless of what else is going on. So your medication excuse off the table. Okay.
You.
You're welcome. Tell me about the week that you gained 4 pounds. Did you assess that week?
I did. Yeah. Let me look at my data for that week. And that was one of the things that kind of jacked me up. Because the week that I gained, I felt like my data looked good. So in terms of like waiting for hunger, like I track it per meal, just so like, you know, just so I can see the pattern, like if it's always, and usually if I'm not waiting for hunger, it's dinner, because that's that towards the end of the day and then I'm getting tired. So my weight for hunger was 70% or more. I closed the kitchen 3 out of 7 days that week. But I wasn't that week, I wasn't tracking if I was stopping at enough. So I got back on tracking that for the next few weeks. And I've been, the next week, I stopped at enough 4 of 7 days. And then this week, I stopped at enough 5 out of 7.
What about go back to closing the kitchen? You said the week that you gained 4 pounds, you closed the kitchen 3 of 7 days. How many did you close the kitchen the week after?
Actually, then the week after it was only one, and then this week it was 4 times.
Okay. And then waiting for hunger, the week that you gained 4 pounds, you waited for hunger 70% of the time. What were the other weeks?
The next week it was like 71, it was the same. And then this week it was 86% for dinner.
Okay. So I want everyone to see what I just did with Erica. I asked her not just about the week where she gained weight, but about the weeks where she also lost weight. So we can look for differences in the trends. That is a form of assessment, if you think about it. We're looking for trends over time to see what's worked and what hasn't. So when you look at that week where you gained 4 pounds in relation to the other weeks, Erica, what stands out?
So I was definitely waiting for hunger less, and I was definitely overeating more because each time I didn't close the kitchen, you know, I wasn't eating after dinner because I was hungry. And so every time I didn't close the kitchen, that was overeating.
So you waited for hunger fewer times and you closed the kitchen fewer times. Those were the two big things, right? So if you were to pick one to really focus in on this coming week, which one would it be?
Definitely close the kitchen, because I know, and I even like, I have a reminder. One of the things that's helped me is I set a reminder on my phone for my equal airtime about closing the kitchen. So it reminds me that when I eat after dinner, I get bloated and that's uncomfortable. I have acid reflux at night. Not only is that uncomfortable, then that means that I don't sleep as well. And then I'm tired after that. So just to, like, remind me of all those reasons I don't want to eat after dinner.
Okay. So what is your 1% level up this coming week about closing the kitchen? So let's recap. We picked what we're working on. She knows why she wants to work on it. Now we're going to do a 1% level up. What do you think that could be for you?
So I closed the kitchen 4 times last week. Trying to decide if I want to set the goal of 5 times, or if just like, or maybe even just like on the days where I'm not closing the kitchen, like maybe catching, you know, realizing that I haven't and stopping before I eat, like, you know, the whole, whatever it was, you know, say I went and got a bowl of popcorn.
What time do you close the kitchen?
Seven.
Seven.
For a couple hours after dinner, like just in case I didn't actually eat enough at dinner.
So you could, I like where your brain is going. You got really theoretical on that second one though, which you need is something super concrete. So, you know, I might be able to stop and, you know, blah, blah. Let's make it easy and let's make it doable. So maybe you select again 4 days of closing the kitchen at 7 o'clock, and maybe there's one additional day you close it at 7:30, or something. Something that's super easy for you to track. And then when you write this out, I would go ahead and decide which days I'm closing the kitchen. So maybe Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we close, or Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we close it at 7:00. Friday, we close it at 7:30 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Make it super concrete and tell your brain this is what we're doing. Because if it starts to get really theoretical and sort of wishy-washy, you know, maybe I can do this or that, your brain is not going to latch. It's going to be like, okay, she said maybe, that means we can eat. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say, well, let me just ask you, does that sound good? 4 days identified at 7:00, 1 day identified at 7:30?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. How are you going to make this easy for you? Because that's the next question on this deep dive assessment.
That's a good question. How have I been making it easy? I do like to, like, when I have an urge to eat after dinner, but I'm not hungry, I like to check in with myself and see if I've journaled that day. And then if I haven't, go ahead and journal. I like to check in and see if I've done my assessment. And then I think just like continuing to remind myself why I don't want to overeat, and also just like put everything down and just like, you know, instead of like numbing out with food, just like let myself, you know, just enjoy watching whatever's on TV, because by 7:00 at night, the TV's on and there's always something entertaining on, you know.
Okay, so it sounds easy to you to go ahead and think about what you're thinking about and journal.
Yeah.
Focus on TV instead of food and remind yourself that there's really no upside for you for eating late. I'm going to tell you something. Yes. There's not for me either. Let's say it's somebody's birthday. If we have birthday cake at 6:30 or 7:00, that jacks me up. The sugar gets in my system. Mm. I can't sleep. I think the older I get, the more I really, really enjoy my sleep and I protect my sleep.
Yeah.
Because it's one of the basics, but I also like how I show up the next day if I've slept well.
Mm, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So what do you think? You ready to move into next week with your new plan?
Yes.
With your level up. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Got anything else?
No, I think that's good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Good luck. I would love for you to post in the Facebook group this time next week and tag me and let me know how your week went with your plan. Be very curious to hear how that goes. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you.
Right. See ya.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. In fact, anybody who's doing this today, who's coaching today, I would love to see if your level ups, how your level ups worked for you and how you assess them and whether or not you used your lab coat rather than your judge's robes. All right. We have someone up here with just admin. Let's see who this might be. Admin, I am promoting you to panelist. Let's see if you come up. Somebody was talking about the medication, saying it's not the internet, it's medical studies. Yes, I get that 100%. It doesn't mean it applies to me, because usually those things have, they'll say, well, you know, 5% of the people do XYZ and 10% of the people do XYZ. Yeah, I know my name's I have to figure out how to change my name. Let's see if this does it. Here it is. I will change my name. Admin, for some reason, you are not coming up. I wonder if you have a setting that does not allow you to be promoted to panelist. So if you want to leave the call, check your settings, come back and raise your hand, that might be what we need to do. Because for some reason, it is not reacting. So, Laura, I'm going to move on to you. Let's see if you come up. Okay, here comes Laura. Are you coming? She's coming. She just unmuted. I can hear you. Let's get your video started. There you are.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm vacationing in California, so it's 7.
Oh, well, I believe Coach Ashley is also on the West Coast.
Oh,
so
good.
You guys are early morning friends.
Yeah, I usually don't get a Saturday morning call, but I'm up, so.
Well, anyway, what are we coaching on?
The deep dive assessment was introduced in August.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I did one for that month, but I didn't do the level ups.
Okay.
I filled it out. I didn't do the last part. So,
the last part, which mean? Are you talking about the this part?
The last page. No,
yeah,
I did
step
that.
Step 3. You did this?
I did that.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't go back and finish it, though, on
okay.
the very last page.
Okay.
My 3 level ups were, I'm drawing a blank now. Talk to my future self, journaling, and take a question to ask coaches. The question, I didn't know what to ask, so I haven't done that. The journaling, I brought a journal with us on our trip, but I haven't started. I did sign up for the camp, though. And I just printed out on GoodNotes the journaling prompts.
Okay.
The 30-day journaling printout.
Okay.
So my plan is to do that, and that'll get me ready for camp.
Mm-hmm.
So I just did that yesterday. So the first one, talking to my future self, I did put down, do it weekly. And then I didn't do it.
What does it mean to you when you say, I'm going to talk to my future self?
It just doesn't seem realistic.
Yeah.
At this
point. Yeah.
And
I think what you're saying is not uncommon. So I'm going to give you some tips on what it means to talk to your future self. Okay. I'm going to make it easy for you. How about that?
Okay.
Okay. So your future self can be this, you know, amazing woman in 3 years who's lost all her weight, who's, you know, walking 14 miles a day and doing all these things, right? Whatever.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I mean, we can have this big, bold, way off in the future self. And you can certainly talk to her. What is, you know, how did she eat today? Does she stop it enough all the time? I bet she does. Your future self can also be tomorrow or later today or when you're making your plan or your assessment the next time you make it. I'll give you an example. I was thinking the way I plan my food for the week is I create a menu on the weekends and I go to the grocery store and I have everything in the refrigerator so that I have everything for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the week. Okay. This week, I'm going to make a casserole that I can heat up on Thursday because I have to work late on Thursday. So when I'm making that casserole tomorrow, I'm going to tell myself, Thursday, Kathy is going to be so glad all I have to do is heat up dinner. And I have, you know, there's no takeout, there's no McDonald's. Thursday, Kathy is going to be so glad. She's my future self. Because Thursday, Kathy is going to come off of work tired ready to eat, and she's going to be so happy that she has this casserole to heat up.
Oh, so that's for so you, much easier.
Yes, yes. I think we make future self this big, bold, complicated thing, and it doesn't have to be. It's basically just looking a little bit into the future to see how you can make her life just a little bit easier.
Oh, right? I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been thinking of the Laura at goal in like 2 years with the weight I have to lose.
Let's say you get all your water in today, but you get it in, you finish drinking it at 9 o'clock tonight. And you're up three times going to the bathroom in the middle of the night, which happens to me. I mean, I'm just being honest.
Oh, me too.
You might get up the next morning and say, you know what? I'm going to get all my water in today, but I'm going to get it in by dinner time. Because future Kathy, future Laura doesn't want to get up three times tonight. We want to preserve our sleep. So that's how we're going to take care of future Laura, future Kathy.
I do put by 7 o'clock on my plan when I remember it. I have been struggling with the water, especially on this vacation. And there's really no reason to be struggling with it because it's sitting right here. And I have a gallon jug. And I fill it up in the morning. And so I just started putting get 16 ounces before each meal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would add up quickly.
Yeah.
And then
and when get you the go to do your assessment tonight, when you have done 16 ounces before each meal, you can tell yourself as you're drinking, man, future Laura, when she does that assessment tonight, is going to be so happy that we got this done today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm trying not to freak out because I did a weigh-in on Friday and I have gained 6 pounds since September 1st.
And have you been traveling the whole time?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you were to go back and look at your plans and your assessments and your data, what do you think the top reason for the 6 pound gain would be?
Not enough activity and not enough water.
So that's easy, right? You bump the water by 8 ounces for a week, then by 8 more ounces or 16. You give yourself doable goals. If you're drinking, let's say, how much water are you drinking? On average.
Average, I would say maybe 50. I'm not finishing the bottle.
Okay, 50 ounces. All right, so that's your baseline. So for the next week, do you think you can get in another 6 or 8 ounces on top of the 50?
Yeah.
Okay. So you do that, you get that solid, then you see if you can add 6 or 8 ounces more. Remember, 1% level ups. Okay. We're not going for perfection here. I'm not saying, oh, you're getting 50. Can you get 64, you know, and do it perfectly? No. We want you to ease into it so that you can build a habit so that you can feel good about accomplishing.
Okay.
So 6 to 8 more ounces for the next week. How are you going to make it easy to do that?
Fill it up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it nearby. I do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an Apple Watch?
No, I have a Fitbit.
Do you have an iPhone? A Fitbit? Can you set yourself reminders on your Fitbit to drink where it'll buzz your arm?
I do have things going off on that. Figure it out.
Yeah. We're all attached to our phones, aren't we? You can set yourself an hourly or 90 minute or every 2 hours reminder to go chug some water.
Yeah, on my phone I could do that. I used to have something on there. It was a cute little cat to remind me to drink water.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it. It just disappeared.
I bet you can find it or find something similar. There's a reminders app on every iPhone. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Make it Y'all make these level ups easy, 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 easy. 1% means 1%. It doesn't mean 50% or 100%. Okay.
Okay. So like on the Ask Coaches, how do I come up with a question to ask? I mean, I've been a member going on 5 years.
Here's what I would do. I would get into the recent answers and see what kinds of things people are asking. Yeah, it's all kinds of stuff. You can either, this question, I'm just gonna ad lib a little bit on the question. I reach out to Ask Coaches when I'm stuck. That could mean searching Ask Coaches for a similar question.
Right.
Right. So let's say you're stuck finding enough or eating after, we'll say finding enough at dinner time. I bet you can search Ask Coaches and find dozens of questions from people who have trouble eating, finding enough at dinner time.
Oh,
so
okay.
you can read the questions, or you can post your own. Hey, I'm having trouble finding enough at dinner time. What do you suggest? Do you have, I work Ask Coaches all the time. Okay. I give coaching call replays. I have people asking for resources and courses, and what should my next course of action be? I have people saying, I hate my body. What do I do? It's everything. I'm a teacher and I can't go to the bathroom. You know, what do I do? You know, it's everything in the world that people are struggling with that they just want a coach to come in and say, try this, or have you thought of that? Ask yourself this question, or here's a course. It's basically what Ask Coaches is. It's a coach in your pocket. If you have a question, if you don't understand a concept, if you don't know how it applies to you, you could have taken this question from the assessment that says, I talk to my future self every day. Is that what it says? See, now I can't find it. Oh, I talk to my future self either in writing or in my head every week. Okay. You could take that into Ask Coaches and say, I don't understand what this means. Can you explain this to me?
Yeah. While I was waiting for my turn, my accountability partner and I were on Messenger back and forth, and she gave me a great suggestion to use a mantra and put it on my planner every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you, Laura Murphy.
I hit Marco Polo, my accountability partner, every morning with my intention for the day, how I intend to show up for me that day. Sometimes it's patience. Sometimes it's, I'm going to eat to enough at every meal. Sometimes it's, rest. You know, I set an intention every day and I put it at the top of my planner, just like you. It's like saying a mantra, but I just tailor it for whatever's going on that day.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, it was very helpful. And the journaling one, I'll just start out with a sentence. I'll do the journaling prompt course.
Okay. Super easy journaling hack too, if you want. If you don't know what to write about, ask yourself, what am I feeling right now and why?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, right. Because you could be happy, you could be sad, you could be mad, you could be ambivalent, you could be, you know, whatever. And just write about why you're feeling that way, because it's going to be a bunch of thoughts.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Thank you, Coach Kathy.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Good luck. Good luck on your next month. Really think about what your 1% level ups can be so that you can have some success this month. Okay.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Colleen, you are next. Saw something in here that said, Kathy, fly by. I don't know where it is now. Oh, it's probably way down here. Are you coming, Colleen? Nancy says, I was listening to your Queen's Club replay and you talked about how it's important to word things carefully. Yes, I've been trying to add my journaling a couple of repeat sentences, one of which is, I can do hard things. Should I rephrase that? What would be a better way to say that? So that depends. How does I can do hard feel? I can do hard things feel to you? Does it feel doable? Does it feel like that's something that motivates you? Or Colleen, I just asked you to start your video. Uh-oh, did she go away? Or sometimes I will say to myself, Colleen, raise your hand again if you want to come on screen. Sometimes I'll say to myself, I can do things. I can do amazing things for myself. That to me, that feels very positive and it feels very loving toward myself. Does that make sense? So if I can do hard things, really motivate you and sounds good to you, that's amazing. But if you would rather lighten it up a little bit, you can rephrase it for sure. It's up to you and how you feel. There you are, Colleen. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. What you got today?
Well, quickly, I've been a member almost 2 years, and I've been feeling very good about stuff, maybe too good about stuff. I'm not too tough on myself. I've really taken the experience of, be kind, work through stuff. So last July, I got to my goal, 159.
Congratulations.
And I have been, well, thank you. And it's You're been welcome. Awesome. Mm-hmm. It's been awesome. But as soon as my foot hit that scale and I saw 159, kind of relaxed just a little, not a lot, kind of kept working things, doing things. You know, you'd have an overeat course, I do my habit tracker. I plan almost every day. Somebody in the Facebook group this last month did a wonderful thing for me. They said, I'm just going to really, really pick two things. And I pick my hardest things because my percentages are pretty high on almost everything. But my lowest one is, how hungry am I? Like eating when hungry. And so I'm about between 3 to 5 pounds, which I know sounds ridiculous, but it's for everybody, that next 3 to 5 pounds that we're working on. So that's kind of what I that was at 75%, which I still feel pretty good about.
Am I hungry was at 75%?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, and but I guess, so now I'm wondering, okay, because this is coming together pretty good, I have some things that I need to deal with. One of them is my son is in a wonderful relationship, really cares about the person. But unfortunately for mom, she may want to live in her at her place, which is around the world from where I am right now. Mm-hmm. And I've had some feelings and thoughts which are impacting my habit tracker about, oh man, how am I going to feel about that if I lose? I mean, it's very selfish, and yet if I lose my son to this wonderful person who, I mean, she, I couldn't, you can't, you want your people to have great relationships, but then you think, oh, what if they have a grandchild? Well, I'm going to be a Zoom grandma. What's that? I mean, I do have a daughter and I do have two grandchildren that live closer to me. So I can't. So anyway, I'm wondering if that I'm journaling. I love journaling. I'm so excited for the journaling workshop. I'm just going to do it virtual, but I love journaling. But how do I continue to process or do I mean, I can't make the decision. I can just look at where I could, say to myself, hey, you can get on a plane. You can, I can rent a place by them for 6 months if they ever have a child, maybe.
So let me make one super important distinction first, because we have already established how important words are to me.
Yes.
The way you talk to yourself, you said, my feelings and thoughts are impacting my habit tracker. Is that true?
Well,
what is actually impacting your habit tracker?
I'm a little emotional right now and I'm not sure
what's actually impacting the habit tracker is your eating around the thoughts and the feelings.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. So let's pull that apart just a little bit. You can have all the thoughts and feelings about your son and his friend, girlfriend, fiance, partner.
Let's girlfriend say partner. At this point. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
about the two of them, but you're eating around them. If you can have the thoughts and feelings, but you don't have to eat. The eating part is the choice. So it's the eating part that's affecting the habit tracker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So let's just be real clear about that.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the thoughts and feelings go, you've done a good job processing this. You're feeling in it. He's still living at home, right? Or living close by, right?
No, actually he lives two states away, but we see each other quite a bit. And he's a great son. He calls me once in a while. We Zoom, we're visiting.
How often do you see him now?
Well, I see him probably quality twice a year.
Twice a year, quality. I don't know what that means.
Well, that means where you really are with each other and you're not, you know, how you're with, well, sometimes you're with people and they're on their phone or they're, you know what I mean? They're there physically, but they're not really with you. But he's very conscious of quality time with me, which is really nice. Like he'll say, Dad and I are going to go golf, but Mom, that means that you and I, we're going to go have coffee on that morning first or something like that.
So. All right. So we'll give you two times a year of good quality, fill your cup kind of time, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how many times a year does he call? Or how many times a week? How many times? What did you say?
It varies, but at least every 2 weeks, probably. Okay. I have a hi, how you doing phone call.
You ever text?
Oh, yes, a little bit, but not, I don't want to, you know, this has even been kind of a lot for me to even have him be in another state, but he's happy. He's got a good job and it's all good.
All right.
I worked through this. So he thinks, yes, where you're going, Kathy, possibly is, this isn't going to be much different. I'm still going to come home. And when I come home, I'm really going to be there. And he can maybe even work from my house occasionally, possibly, maybe.
So what's the problem? If not much is going to change, mm-hmm. and he's going to be with the person that is his, you know, his person, the love of his life, which is what it sounds like. You're okay with what you want, right? I coach women all the time who are marrying off their kids. And I'm like, why wouldn't you want that to happen?
Yeah, I think Kathy, possibly it's just that thinking of that future grandchild, which I know is really crazy, but I do have two grandchildren. I know you do too.
Holding I have six.
Okay. Well, maybe you're over. I mean, I'm ready to hold. Mine are 6 and 8 right now. So
okay,
I'm ready to
but
hold
if,
that newborn and let's, just really be there.
Let's
for
just play that he's going to marry this girl and they're going to have kids. We're still back to you get two times a year quality time. You talk every couple of weeks and you text all the time. Right? I think ultimately what we want for our kids is for them to have an amazing life when we're gone. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
And, you know, if he cleaves to you and doesn't know anything outside of you and he outlives you, then where's he going to be?
Oh, exactly.
Right. He's not going to have you for his support anymore. And he's not going to have anyone else.
Well, yes. And I haven't been that much of a support. I really haven't. I mean, not that
I think you get my point. Yeah. You're allowing him now to explore relationships and that's great. And he has this wonderful girl and all that stuff. Wouldn't you want him wherever it is to be happy and have his people around him?
I would. I think it's just selfishly wanting me.
I wouldn't call it selfish. I would just call it Mama Bear.
Of course, mom
wants to have her kids around. Of course. Right. But we also know that we want them to have their people around too.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's how I think about all this.
The grief, I think, comes up a little bit though. It's kind of a loss. I mean,
Why is it grief though?
Well, just farther away. I don't know. It just feels like a little bit of a lot.
The world is getting so much smaller every single day.
That is so true. You are so right. You are very right, Kathy.
So it might be grief. I just want you to identify it properly because grief can be very heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe it could be sadness. It could be yearning. But none of this has happened yet either.
Yeah, and it's then maybe not knowing is part of that whole situation too.
I suspect what you can work on now is uncertainty and control. Okay? If you work on uncertainty around the future, which nobody has, last time I checked, my crystal ball didn't work. Does y'all crystal ball work? No, probably not, right? So we have uncertainty around the future, and we have control of how we can show up today. And we can plan for control for tomorrow, but we really don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
We don't.
So, right? So how can we show up every day making sure we're taking care of ourselves and not eating, we're honoring our emotions, and we're not planning the worst thing that can happen all the time. We're just vigilant. And then we pivot if we need to.
And living in the here and now.
Yes,
Instead
because
of
if you're worrying
always.
about tomorrow, you're not enjoying him right now.
That's true.
You're sitting in
That's
a
true.
room with him going, what happens if he moves across the world?
That's
Rather
right.
than, so what'd you do today?
No, this
Right?
is good, Kathy. Thank you.
Yeah. Be present. Work on uncertainty. Work on control. And when you do that, you can bring all this back in to how you're eating. Right?
That's what I really needed was that kind of,
Yeah.
yeah.
I can tell you from having two boys that, and thankfully they're both local, but I see one of them a whole lot more than I see the other one.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that because each is surrounded by the people that they're going to grow old with, their own kids, their wives. And I'm going to get emotional talking about this, but I find so much comfort in knowing that my kids are going to be taken care of by their girls.
That is a wonderful thought. It
Every
really
single, yeah. Because if
is.
I can't take care of them, I want to be able to cede that responsibility to someone I completely trust. And I trust both those girls. Oh my gosh, y'all, I'm crying.
We love our boys, that's
We
all.
do. We love our kids. That's right.
We
But
love our kids.
when my kids went to college, y'all, I did not, I felt I was sad. I felt like there was this hole in my chest because they weren't at home. They weren't, for me to take care of anymore. But I also had the thought that I didn't want them to live upstairs and work for Publix the rest of their life.
Well,
What do
in
I ultimately, what do I really want for my kids, right? It's not to be a bag boy the rest of their life and live in my basement. No.
that's so funny because the live in the basement thing came up as a joke. Like, it really did. It was like, well, or would you rather have me in your basement? And I just had a vision of that. Like, okay, I guess not.
Right?
That
Right? Okay,
Awesome.
you set?
I am set, Kathy. Thank you so much for
Awesome.
all you do.
You're very welcome. Okay, everyone. I think you have gotten the point today about how important it is to really look at these assessments and to figure out how you can make tomorrow or next month just a little bit better so that you can continue to advance your own learning and advance your own weight loss. There's one more question. Does your son still have the shorts? Okay, so that's a very old joke, y'all. The relationships course prior to the current one, I was coached about this boy who wore the same shorts all the time. And at the time, he was not married, did not have children. I didn't know if he was, I just didn't know if he was going to make it. And I want to tell y'all, he has two beautiful children, a great job, a wife who's a teacher who is teaching her, I mean, these kids all the time. He's the best dad, and he still has the shorts. And that's okay, because I'm very, very proud of him. Okay, I'm going to start crying again if I don't get off this call. I hope you all have an amazing day. Do your assessments. If you have any questions at all about how to level up, you can really post in that Facebook group and get, leverage the community, leverage the ideas. You can use the 1% level up document that Ashley put in the chat that will attach to this call. Do these assessments. I cannot even tell you how much I love this deep dive assessment. It really, really points out to me what my next level work is, and I know it will for you too. All right, everybody. Ashley, thank you for being here. Thank you all for coming. Have a great Saturday, and I will see you soon. All right. Bye now.